let's give thanks for a minute. Man, I love that. How many of y'all love that song? That's it! Man, if I could scream one message to the world, that's it. Do y'all realize how powerful that is? I want you to think for just a moment. Out of all the philosophies of the world and all the theories and all the proposals that we're bombarded with on a daily basis, there's only one way we could stand here today. I mean, I want you to think about this. There's only one way that we could stand here and worship today, and that's that Jesus shed his blood. And I know that message seems, well, how did one of my colleagues of today's, the blood of Jesus, he called it primitive. It was a primitive mythology. You see, he's got cool hair now and square glasses, and he's got a 4-year college degree. And I think he even has a master's degree, and he actually read one book on Judaism. So now this qualifies him to question the blood of Jesus. Let me help you. Without the blood of Jesus, guess what? We would be much like that moment in that great Shakespeare play where we would be going out, damn spot, out, and it won't come out. We can't get it out. How many of y'all realize that? We can't get it out. We can't get out what's alienated us from God. We can't get it out. Won't come out. And this frustrates us to no end because, you know what, Jimmy? We can't get it out. How many of y'all ever had a splinter in your hand? Anybody here ever had a splinter in your hand? If not, you need to go get one today. No, I'm just kidding. But how many of y'all ever had a splinter that you couldn't get out? I mean, it's just a splinter. It's not like you're going to die from it. But what does that splinter do? How many of y'all think about it when you're supposed to be thinking about other things? How many of y'all have ever had a splinter and you sit there and you just play with it and it won't come out and you can't get it out and eventually I have to do this. Elizabeth, get this out. Now, hold on. There's sin in our lives. Y'all understand that? We're coming up to celebrate Holy Week and I want to really ask this question. Do you understand the pivot of the message? Most of you do in this room. Especially in this service. But I'm going to ask you to re-up to this message. It's worthy of telling everybody. And eventually, one day, the church is going to be rekindled to where it's going to tell this message. This is the message. You know, Brian, the message is not that we're good people. The message is that God is a merciful God, isn't it? The message is not that the church is a wonderful place. The message is that Christ is a wonderful God. The message is not, if you'll come, you'll be happy. The message is, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved. Amen. And we're positioned to heaven. So today I wanted to create the question as we come into Holy Week, okay? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, I'm going to highly, highly magnify, suggest that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to hear how powerful that is. And some of you have asked me, go, why do you go over that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? I said, because the church in general has downplayed its power. And I'll just have to be primitive. Watch this. I would rather be saved than sophisticated. I would rather be born again than approved by man. I would rather be uncomfortable here and on my way to heaven. Now, how many of y'all have gotten that far along? I'd rather be uncomfortable here. Okay, that's about the amount in the American church that's comfortable with that. At least y'all are honest with me. You see, we don't know how to do uncomfortable anymore. I mean, we don't come from uncomfortable. I mean, we've got enough generations. We don't even understand. Listen, can you agree with this? I do agree with our president. We're a bunch of whiners. We whine. Instead of say, wait a minute. What might make a difference in my life? How many of you ever pause during the week and say, wait a minute. If I've received Jesus, is he worthy? Is he worthy of whatever I endeavor? Is he worthy of whatever I endeavor? I want to tell you something. Pastors, I want you all to listen to this. Those of you all that are pastors, I want you to see how far the Apostle Paul sold out for the church. Which is, I wish I could tell you that I didn't hear pastors whine. I wish I could tell you. Mitch Walker, who's now an elder, not because you retired, but because you are. I wish I could tell you that I'd never whined, but guess what? I've whined, haven't I, Elizabeth? Elizabeth goes, oh, yeah. How many of y'all, ask your neighbor if they've ever whined. Just ask, have you ever whined? Have y'all ever whined? Ever whined? If you do it all the time, it's called something else. Whining that's done constantly all the time, no matter what, that's called something else, but that's another sermon for another day. It rhymes with a Halloween character. Just all the time. Now, if Jesus has saved you, now let's think about this. If Jesus has saved you, how many of y'all believe in this room? Jesus has. The blood of Jesus saved. We just sang about it. I believe Jesus Christ has saved me of all my sins. Now, if you believe all your sins are saved, does that change the way you live? Does it change the way you approach things? Does it change how you understand a day? Yeah. It's no longer just a day. It's a moment of your eternity. Now go with me to Colossians. We're at verse 24. Remember at one time last week we were alienated from God. That means we were separate from God. That means we were not God's little chosen adorable creation just because we happened to be born. And I know this fries most of y'all because most of us started out with a lie. I blow you away. I mean, they started out lying to us. Watch this. How many of y'all have told your children this? I lied to mine. I looked at him, I said, you a good little boy. How many of y'all did that? How many of y'all did? I looked at my daughter, you a good little girl. I've looked at my wife and said, you a good little wife. She looked at me. Now, come to think of it, she'd never looked at me and said that. No, but here's where this myth has really saturated us. And even though it sounds kind of funny, it's true. We believe more in our goodness than God's grace. I mean, if you really square it up, you know, if you lay it out on the table, pound for pound, if you put the weight scales there and say, okay, here's God's grace and here's human goodness, we tend to don't want to stack more of our human goodness than we do God's grace. But here's what I want you to know. Pounds of human goodness will not equal a half an ounce of God's grace. And Paul realized the only way he was going to come to Christ was by the mercy of Christ. Now, when you get there, you'll start living. Bob, I don't have a greater message than that. That's ultimate deliverance. Without salvation, guess what? The demons crawl you. So you can yell at them, shout at them, do flips over them, and guess what? They're coming back. The scripture says seven times stronger. You know why? Nothing to take their place. See, grace doesn't just clean me. It fills me. Here, I can help you stand. It doesn't just put a new window in. It also conks around the windows so the air doesn't get in. It doesn't temporarily fix the situation. It permanently fixes the situation. How many of y'all are glad to know you're permanently okay with God? You're not temporarily okay with God. You are permanently in order with God. Why, Billy Lowe? Because God made it so. Now, Paul came to the conclusion, Bobby. God made it so. Now, as he writes to the letter, this letter in Colossae, they got a problem. How many of y'all have noticed that people will take what Jesus says and then they'll add what they think onto it? How many of y'all have noticed that? Does that go on today, any? Oh, Lord have mercy. I remember going to Sunday school classes. They had haircut regulations, dress codes. I learned in my Sunday school class that if you listened to Three Dog Night, you were going to hell. I remember them telling me that. I remember them telling me that God didn't permit men to have hair over their collar. I remember listening to all this bunk that people just added to the gospel. I don't know where they got it other than this. They believe in their cultural norms more than the power of God's grace. Now, let me tell you where that's really problematic. Jesus is unwilling to confine himself to any cultural time. Now, to me, that's great news, because that means this. God will not stay where you are. He's going to take you to where he is. Isn't that the word, Reverend Britt? He said, I've come so that you might be with me, not so I could stay here with you. John 14, remember? Don't let your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, trust in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and take you so that you can be where I am. Because I've already come to where you are. But I came here so you could go there. Now you get it? I can't be clean without Jesus. How many of y'all understand that? Now listen, I can do, you know, Dave, I can do some good things according to Kentucky. But it ain't hard. In Kentucky, y'all, those of you who grew up in Kentucky, y'all know how to be good in Kentucky. Don't do it where anybody else can see it. Am I not telling the truth?
Yes, that's right.
And if you cheat somebody, don't let them know. If it's hidden, it's okay. That's kind of the norms of this culture. True? Now, the norms of this culture today, let's talk about our culture today. Here's what we do with sin today. Well, everybody's doing it. So if everybody sins, somehow or another, that makes it righteous. If we all take a vote and say immorality, 51% of the people agree that immorality is no longer immorality. Now it's become moral. Do we really believe that's going to work? Boy, we got groups out there trying, don't we? I watched a thing last night on the legalization of marijuana. That's what we need in our culture. More stoned people. That, you know, I just thought that's what we need. We don't have enough people losing their minds on other substances. So we need greater pathways for our young people to damage more of their brain cells. Why do we think like that? But guess what the argument was? Everybody's doing it. They're going to do it anyway. Well, make them legal and get money out of it. Let's just make it all legal. Let's just have a free-for-all. Have we done that before? Yeah, it's called lawlessness. You ever heard that word? You ever been to Bible study where you've heard the word lawlessness? Without any boundaries leads to what? No life. Now, here's what God has done. Paul said, Jesus Christ, his message, his grace, his blood, his activity is so everything, I'm willing to take suffering in my life for the message. So I'm going to ask you a question to evaluate for the next couple of weeks. How uncomfortable would you be willing to be for the gospel? Some of you this week were uncomfortable enough to invite somebody else to come with you and hear the story. Because it's uncomfortable to talk to somebody about God, right? I mean, come on, it is. I mean, somebody might look at you and say, you're not a right winger, are you? By the way, I just want you to know, please do not tie Jesus to any political party. I have come to the truth that all human organizations practice insanity. How many of you all have come to that truth? Watch this. Without Jesus Christ here at Hillview Heights Church, we'll organize insanity. My marriage without Jesus Christ in it will become insane because guess what? I'll keep doing the same things that don't work, expecting them to work. Any of y'all got that habit? I'm going to keep doing the same wrong thing over and over again, expecting it to what? Work. That's what we humans do. But hold on. God has intervened to show us heaven. How many of y'all believe that? God has intervened to do what? Show us heaven. So here's what Paul said it's worth. Now here's where they were adding to the gospel. This is an old teaching. Some in Colossae, it's called asceticism. Bobby, and you've studied this, they believe the body caused you to sin. Now, before we get too critical, a lot of you practice asceticism and don't even know it. Because a lot of you grew up legalist. You had a little sheet of paper, and this defined your God. You had your little rules written on it, and this was God. In fact, I used to go to a lot of churches, and they'd say their church covenant. And it was on the wall. It was a 6x4 sheet up on the wall, and nobody practiced what it said, but they believed because it's up on the wall, it's going to bless the congregation. The times as a kid I would chuckle at it is when I was reading, "We will not bicker and fight with one another," as there was a major war going on in the sanctuary on Wednesday night during a business meeting over what kind of toilet paper we needed to have in God's church. Important issues the church used to anchor in on during my youth. The important things that they would grab a hold of, and they wonder why none of us are in church anymore. They wonder why we all at 18 said, "We're done." Because we got tired of hearing that Three Dog Night was going to send us to hell. We got tired of hearing that, you know, bell-bottom jeans were something holy. We got tired of hearing all the things that were not Scripture. But praise be to God. God in His great mercy eventually encouraged some of us to read the whole book. You know the greatest thing that changed my life? Bible. I finally read it for myself. I encourage you to read it for yourself. Once you read it for yourself, you will be so happy. God is not a Baptist. He's not a Catholic. He's not a charismatic. He's not a Pentecostal. He's not a Methodist. He's not a Presbyterian. He's not a Democrat. Watch all the Republicans. And God knows he's not a Republican. He can make up his mind. He's not a part. Watch this. Hold on. Now, this is going to bother you. He's not a capitalist. He's not a communist. He's not a socialist. He's not a rationalist. He's not a philosopher. He's God. And it stops with him. But this teaching of asceticism, they believe the body to be evil, so they believe if you chastise the body, it wouldn't sin. How many of y'all have ever tried this attempt? It works in a very shallow way like this. I'm going to use my power of positive thinking, and I'm going to be like the little choo-choo. You all remember the little choo-choo story we told all the kids. If I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I'll think myself right up over the mountain, right? I mean, that was the induction of the power of positive thinking. That's what that is. The problem is, I did that. I said, I think I can run fast. I think I can run fast. I think I can run fast. Coach, I never ran fast. They forgot to tell me there's some other things that goes with that. Ability. So what I should do is go out and protest that I didn't get the same ability as somebody else. That's what we do in the 21st century. I should protest where I come from instead of looking at the God I have. Now, guess what? Those of you who follow God, it's time to follow God. You know what Paul said? It's not about your body. It's about your belief. It's not about your individual body, but it's about the body of Christ. Amen. It's about Jesus' blood. That changes everything. How many of y'all believe that changes everything? If you want to curtail your temptation, then what do you need to trust? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Look what Paul said. Now I rejoice, verse 24, in what was suffered for you. Paul said, you want to talk about suffering? Here's what I rejoice. The gospel is worth the suffer. The gospel's worth the suffer. Let me ask you a question. Now, the stakes have changed in the last 5, 6, 10 years. If you really stand up for Jesus in the United States of America, what can you expect? Come on, talk to me a minute. What can you expect? There are going to be some people criticize you. There are. Y'all may not believe this, but I have some people that really don't like me. They just don't like me because I'm now back in 1950, there were people like me all over the place. You know, some of y'all were there. A man believed what he believed and he lived out what he believed. And if you shook his hand, that was good. And he wasn't a weasel. Today, it is popular to change your mind all the time. It is popular to really not believe what you believe. We want to appease versus what? Believe. I believe the blood of Jesus will save you. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, are you casting judgment on me if I don't believe? No, I'm not, but God is. Is God a God of judgment? Yes. So what are you going to do? occupy heaven? We're going to stand out at the gates of heaven and get you a sign. God's not fair. He didn't forgive everybody. He didn't let me live in my corruption. He didn't let me just bask in my sin. He came and died so that I could be forgiven. And I chose to reject that opportunity. But God's not fair because he didn't personally send me an invitation. Really? Yes, he did. See, here's the problem. When you start protesting, you will pronounce how much you already know. You'll pronounce what you've refused instead of what you've received. Now, let me tell you what, we're going to go quick here. It's about receiving. Now, Paul says, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. And I fill up my flesh in what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Not for my glory, but for the sake of the body, which is the church. Can I sum all that up for you? Paul said, you're worth taking a hard time for. What God has given is worth suffering for. Now, you've seen this in history. Watch this. Today, you and I have the privilege of participating in an integrated congregation all day long with no problems, no sweat, no problems, not because we're great, but because one man believed in what Jesus said. Martin Luther King believed in what Jesus said. And what's amazing, just a few years later, the very people that say they believe what King said don't believe what King said because they don't believe what Jesus said. And King believed what Jesus said. What Jesus said. You know what Jesus said? Could happen to anybody. Jesus said everybody could be saved. Jesus didn't look at where you came from. You know why? He knew where we came from. Sin. Y'all want to get equality and justice going real quick? Let's get it. We're all sinners. Y'all want to find some common ground? Every one of us had blown the Ten Commandments. True or false? See, Paul knew this, and he knew this was the only solution. That's why he said, listen, it's not about me taking on suffering. It's about that this message is worthy of my sacrifice because the church, you know what Paul was convinced of? The church is the only thing that'll be left standing. I just want to let y'all in on something. I believe the church is going to be the only thing left standing. And I'm not a gloom and doom guy, but I believe the church is the only thing that's going to be left standing. I believe governments come and go. Y'all ever studied history? Tim, we still teach that in school, or is that not permitted anymore? We still teach it? Do we have to teach the revised politically correct version, or can we just give it straight? Oh, we got to mix it a little bit. Yeah, we don't want to offend anybody. Yeah. I mean, God help us if we hear. Well, yeah, we would have to revise it because here's the problem with our history. Our nation was founded by Christian people. Yeah. I mean, our presidents actually used to, at one time, they went to church, a Christian church. They believed in Jesus Christ. A lot of them believed in the blood. Now, were they all Sunday school teachers? Were they all saints? Were they all perfect? No. But, I mean, if you look at our documents, with some sense, they are founded on some variation of what? A Christian principle. We weren't formed in secular mindset. However, we've had secular mindset for eons of time. Many tribes of people have tried it for a while. You can go and travel the world and see where they used to exist, how they used to think, because they're not here. Paul knew this. The church will stand to the end. Now, here's the good news. We're fixing to come into Holy Week, and we got to deal with some hardcore realities. What do you believe is going to last is going to determine what you give yourself to. What do you believe is going to last? It's springtime. Spring sprung early this year. What do y'all do at springtime? How many of y'all find some stuff that you don't have need of any longer and start pitching it in the spring? Elizabeth and I look through the house. We start clearing out stuff. We need to do that some more. And getting, because guess what? Everything that you own has a time limit to it, including your body. The only thing, now check this out. What owns you is timeless.
Jesus owns you. Thank God that he does. And you know what Paul says? I'm going to take in, I will take whatever for the sake of the church of Jesus Christ. He said, I've become its servant. I just want us to do a little check here. What does it mean to follow Jesus? To become a servant? What kind of servant? I fill up my flesh in what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave to me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Now, guys, listen, we got a great opportunity. The next 2 weeks, guess what? This world ought to buzz. It ought to buzz. It ought to buzz with the glory of God. You know what disappoints me? Probably more of you are more excited today that UK's playing Baylor than you will be that Jesus has risen from the dead. How many of y'all will talk more about a basketball game than you will about a new life? Don't feel guilty. We all do it. Why? Because we tend to be married to the immediate and we tend to delay the eternal. But the eternal must start vibrating with us. Paul said, I'm willing to release it today. If I suffer for it, it's worth suffering for. Does that make sense? It's that real. And he goes on and he said, I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. You know what? I was challenged this week as I read this scripture. I thought, how many things do I talk about other than the great mystery revealed? The greatest news I know is any human being can be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus, their sin can be forgiven and their life repositioned. Do y'all know any greater news than that? Is there anything else that's bigger than that? I mean, really, is there anything else bigger than that? I don't know about y'all, but that cranks me up. And I guess the reason I get it is because I was really a sinner. I've never had a problem with that. When Jesus said, you're a sinner, I said, you're right. When Jesus said, you broke the Ten Commandments, I said, every one of them. Because guess what he said? If you break one, you break them all. Some of y'all go, you mean you've committed adultery? Here's what he says. If you think it's the same as, how'd you do? Not too good. See, we all like to read the Ten Commandments according to our judgment, not according to the judge standard. And Paul said, listen, I know the only way that I've been set free is through the blood of the Lamb, and I'm willing to be a servant of this church because I want to reveal what's been hidden. I'm excited that Jesus is no longer hidden. Aren't you, Pastor Mark? Here's what's amazing. I know some of you have been reading about, Chase, you've been studying about this secret church. I wonder how many would be here today if it cost them their life. Reckon we'd be in a building program? What if today you drove to church, you risk your life to get here? How many of y'all would come? We got three. Well, good. We wouldn't need much. No, it's not a rhetorical question. I don't have rhetorical questions. Talk to me. Guess what? Let me tell you what. If you can't make it to Bible study, I know you're not going to show up in intensity. If all you do is give a dollar to the offering, guess what? I know you'll be running as soon as they say it'll cost you something. Because let me tell you what I've learned a long time ago. If you can't have a little faith, you sure aren't going to have great faith. That's why it's people who are faithful in little things stand on. And if you go, do you worry about that? I said, oh, no, I don't worry about it at all. You know why? Jesus said it's his church and he'll shake it. But Jesus is going to shake the church one day. Guess what he's going to weed out? All the pretenders. All the people that have sat in church, it'd be a relief to me, and bugged pastors their whole church career. All the people that have griped and complained. And guess what? Here's what I've noticed. You know what? All the people that complain, I even see it here. The people that complain about our church, I don't ever see them in the baptistry with anybody. And I'm pretty plain spoken. You know what I mean, brother? I mean, it's not hard to get me. We're about seeing people come to Christ. I've never seen them in a baptistry. They worry about important things like the parking lot. Here's what I care about the parking lot. Park and don't get run over coming in. I figure that you all are mature adults with enough IQ to figure out how to park a car. I don't think that ought to take 50% of our church's energy. But I tell you what ought to consume its energy. The message that has been revealed.
I wonder if it will. I wonder if it'll continue to do so. I wonder if it'll become even more dominant. Paul said this, I have become its servant. I want to be its everything. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now is disclosed to the Lord's people. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus revealed himself? Do we have any appreciation of that? Or has the gospel been preached to us so long that it's become a numbing set of words that just flies by our heads and never touches our souls? Do we sing the great hymns without any emotion because we're just going through the motions of church? Or do we understand that we too have become a part of God's revealing grace to a lost and dying world? I hope we have. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. I'm going to stop there today because this sets us coming into a week. I hope y'all will really celebrate Holy Week. I know Easter's on spring break, so we're conflicting with a major holiday. That's what we need in this nation, another break. I've noticed we don't vacation enough, we don't rest enough, we don't retreat enough. I've noticed we really got problems with that. I'll tell you some things we don't do. I'll tell you one thing we're allergic to. Bad. Suffering. We're allergic to it, aren't we? Mark, you had anybody ever come in and say, listen, I want to have a suffering conference at Hillview, 3-day conference on suffering. Y'all ever been to a suffering conference? I see all these big conferences. Everybody's always having a conference. Guess what? The Bible talks a lot more about suffering than it does celebrating. But Bob, I've never seen a religious organization offer a suffering conference in America. Now, I've seen them offer pray and get rich, which that isn't even in the Bible. And the people that got rich were the people putting on the conference because people hadn't been to Bible study and studied their Bibles, so some charlatan could lay out about 3 Bible verses and say it in a really cool way. And since people are ignorant, they flock into a coliseum thinking they're hearing the Word of God because they don't go to where?
Bible study.
Bible study will save you money. I thought about doing some commercials. Y'all seen those little commercials about the cable TV and how much trouble it gets you in and you need to have Dish Network. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to run a series of those. What happens when you do not know your Bible? It's a lot of crazy things. But suffering means this. I'm willing to stand with Jesus even when it hurts. Because guess what that is? Belief. Belief. You know, one thing you got to respect Jamie Ward for. He will be an Ohio State fan. Even after, you know, they're getting close now. It's really pumping Jamie up. In fact, I even like it better. I like to see all Ohio State get to the almost point. And if it's smacked by a Kentucky team for 365 days, I can go, Jamie, don't even talk about it. I said, your whole life is the story of almost. What does it mean to almost be married? Single. What does it mean to almost be old? Not there quite yet. What does it mean to be almost dead? What does it mean to be almost in heaven? Hell. Almost a lonely world, isn't it? But you always, Ohio State will get smacked and Jamie will come in here talking smack. He will join in the sufferings. Because he what? He believes. Now he's believing in a very disappointing reality for you over the past decade. But you still what? I mean, this helps me. If Jamie can believe in a team that can never win the big game, how many of us can believe in a God that always wins the big game? See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Always a winner. Is that worth suffering for? Yeah. A lot of things worth hanging in there for. I get tickled when I do marital counseling and people come in and say, well, we've had a fight. If Elizabeth and I had to divorce each other every time we had a fight, we'd have to do that twice a day. We'd have to divorce each other twice a day. If we had to leave each other every time we felt discomfortable or not well pleased, we'd keep lawyers busy. Here's what I'm trying to tell you guys. Listen, this life is worth it. The one following Jesus Christ. And if you're yet to do that today, I want to invite you to this life. So where does it start? It starts with Jesus and it finishes with Jesus. That's the good news. You have to face first who you are. You're alienated from God. These two sermons go together last week and this week. And you got to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. You got to realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's chosen one, the one that God sent, Jesus, he's the one. There's not another one. There's not a second one. There's not a third one. There's not another way. He's the way. The truth and the life. Exactly right. The truth and the life. And here's what Jesus said. Whosoever, that's anyone that will, understand that they have sinned against God, and they ask, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. What will Jesus do?
He comes.
He reveals, he forgives, he connects, he establishes, and he never lets go.
Now, some of you ask me, Pastor Steve, what's going to happen to me?
Everything in your reality is going to change. Praise God. And here's why.
For all those years,
without Jesus, here's what you're doing. You're living on limited reality. Does that make sense? Because everything you're into is going to expire. If you believe in your marriage, what happens to marriages? All of them. We say this vow to death do us part. So that tells me there's an end to that special relationship. If you just put all your life in your kids, you know, you just worship and adore your kids. First of all, that makes them very gross human beings. And secondly, guess what kids do? They leave. Praise his holy name. They go get married. No, not at my house. They gone. You know, that's old time. That, you know, you used to return Coke bottles. Now you keep Coke bottles and kids return. Reverse it. Go. Live. Find who God made you to be. Amen? Go. Live everything God's given you. But see, it's what we hold on to. It's what we hold on to. I mean, when Elizabeth was young, before she didn't know much, she believed I would really come through. Now she expects me not to come through, and it's a surprise if I do come through. True? But you'd be disappointed. She'd go, honey, will you do this? And guess what? Hannah, I hate to tell you, but I didn't do it. I'd have been horrible if I'd had Xbox. If I'd have got into that, I'd have really been bad. We didn't even have any electronic games. And I found things to piddle with that wife didn't like always being gone fishing and stuff like that. I didn't come through. There's only one thing that's going to come through. Who is it?
Jesus.
Now, we enter into Holy Week next week. I hope this place is filled. Amen. I mean, Sunday night, I hope you can't get another person in here. And I hope we praise like God has risen. I hope we come in here and praise, thanking God that he's willing to come. I hope you make it to all the Bible studies. Watch this. I hope you'll give 45 minutes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 45 minutes of your time to reflect and focus on how this unfolds. And I don't care where you are Sunday, I hope you're in worship. If you're on spring break and you're down in Panama City or wherever you go on spring break or Mobile or wherever, I hope you're in a church as a believer celebrating your risen Lord. You can go to the beach right after you celebrate it. But I hope you pause
Yeah, well, Pastor, that's not in our family vacation. We need our rest and relaxation.
Oh, baloney. We need some worship. The blood of Jesus needs to break our heart again. You ought to hear Amazing Grace and cry. The hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, ought to be the one that drives us again instead of some nice memory of what the church used to be. It needs to become what the church is. On an old rugged cross, on a hill what? Far away. Stood an emblem of what? Suffering and shame. So that you and I wouldn't have to suffer or be shamed. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I would severely ask him into my life right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. If you've done that sometime during the week or sometime through this service today, then come see one of these pastors. If you've not been baptized, I'm going to encourage you, it's time to get baptized. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't believe in that. Well, then you're believing against the Bible. Jesus said, honor me, confess me, be sealed in me, stand up with me. I hope Easter we have to baptize all day. I really believe that. I hope y'all tell so many people we got to baptize every day. I hope every one of y'all got to get in a baptistry with somebody and let them confess their faith. I'm buried with Jesus. I'm risen with Jesus. And the only reason that doesn't happen, Janet, is because guess what? We don't believe it could happen. But what if we did? Let the winds of God move. Amen. Y'all been wonderful today. Thanks for being in church today. Thanks for worshiping Jesus today. I want to tell you, the world needs to hear about your Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking to the 8 o'clock crew here. You all know Jesus. Y'all all have master's degrees in Sunday school by now. Some of you have doctorates. But guess what? All of that information doesn't mean anything, Eddie, if we don't what? Get it out. Chuck, it don't work if we don't go, hey, just like you, man, you had your buddy with you last week. Thank you. Thank you for loving your buddy that you'd worked with for 40 years enough to say, I want you to make sure you hear about my Jesus. Where's that passion of the believers? You know why Christians get knocked around in this nation? I'm going to be quiet here in just a minute, but you know why we get knocked around? Because we don't stand up. You know, I don't have a lot of people mouth back at me. I just look at them. I say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And they say, well, I disagree with you. I said, praise be unto God. We have a constitution that allows you to disagree and allows me to disagree. And we don't have to shoot each other over the matter. Hallelujah. And they go, are you going to tell me about Jesus? You said you didn't believe. I said, we'll let the horn blow and see who's right. Y'all got to start having confidence. Guess what? I tell my atheist friends, they don't believe there's a God. That's fine. You can make that decision. Just shut the hell up. Because that's where you're headed. And then don't do this. Don't make me pay for your consequences. There it is. Let me tell you what we've done. We're so allergic to suffering. You know what suffering does? It leads you to Jesus. How many of y'all got tired of being pinched by sin? And finally you said, Lord Jesus, here I am. Come on. Let God have his way. If you don't believe today, I hope you'll receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Only he can save you, so let him save you. Amen. Jasper, does it work? I mean, baptism, you hadn't had any bad after effects, right? No bad. Well, good. I want you to testify because I have people tell me sometimes, Jasper, they say, well, Pastor Ayers, I'm scared to be baptized. And I say, well, I've seen thousands of people baptized, and I've seen no bad side effects from it. You know, guys, because we got the privilege of baptizing in warm water here. Now, if we had to go down in February down to the creek where the water was 40 degrees, I'm sure there might be some complications to baptism. One of them was not only would you be saved, but you'd be frozen. Maybe that's where we got Presbyterians, frozen chosen. They baptized those baptistries. You know what I mean? But we got a warm baptistry. It's water. It comes out. It's treated by the city. It has no. It guess what? It's an act of confession. I haven't seen or heard anybody. So don't be scared of it. Some of you say, well, I can't swim. We big old boys. Listen, if you drown in a baptistry, we'll take that one, all right? I mean, we'll pay your insurance out and everything on that. I've never seen anybody drown in a baptistry. Have you all, Pastor Mark, seen several thousand baptisms? No drownings. Maybe we need to put one of those signs up there like the guy at the lake. You know, 114 drownings. Wearing life jackets, zero. Baptistry, zero drownings. All in Christ. Make sense? Let me finish here, though. I'm going to tell you what. Without him, you'll drown. You got it? All right, next Sunday starts a big week. Biggest week I know. Praising God, learning about God, and celebrating the resurrection. Let's stand together. Lord, take this altar. Use it well. God, I thank you for the people here. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for mercy. I pray for salvation. I pray that we repent. I pray that we celebrate. I pray that we tell the good news of Jesus. Lord, I pray that we will be who you've made us to be. And that's enough. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, draw us to the altar to deal with you and you alone. So it's in the name of Christ we open this altar. Come, please see Jamie. If you're going to be baptized on Easter, we need to start lining that up. That's already shaping up to be a wonderful day in the Lord. And so I just ask right now that you will come. You'll receive Christ. You'll walk in this message. It's worth everything, everything you are to follow Jesus, I promise. In the name of Jesus, the altar's open. And you can come and pray freely. And so let's take advantage of what God has given us. And let's tell the world about this great mystery. Come on, church. The altar's open. Oh, how exciting. In China, this would be impossible. The altar is open. But in the United States of America, the altar's open. The altar's open. Come on.